Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete. Pete, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Derek, I'm going to do my best Kate impersonation. Hey!
Yeah, that's all I got. Kate sadly is under the weather and will not be joining us. Kate, if you listen to this, hope you get feeling better soon. And we've got Steve. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Sadly, I don't have a Pete joke. If Pete's being Kate.
Well, no.
You notice I didn't have a Pete joke either. I didn't.
Yeah. Not really for this. Yeah. Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. And we're going to be watching some stuff that's new. And if you're documentary fans, we're going to be hitting a couple of those here in the next few weeks also. So this week, we actually went and looked at a one of the Disney features that we had not looked at yet from the 1940s. It is Fun and Fancy Free. Fun and Fancy Free was a package film. Sure. Well, it's
considered a feature. Yeah.
It's what's known as a package film. It had two, I think, similar to Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Right.
This was Bongo the Circus Bear and Mickey and the Beanstalk. Both of those were actually in development pre-World War I. Mickey and the Beanstalk had actually all of its dialogue already recorded before in 1941 and 1940, including this is the last release that had Walt as original language of Walt as Mickey Mouse in it.
Mm.
There is a cartoon that was done, recorded after World War One, after World War II, after World War One. They're all after World War One, after World War II. But this was the last release that had Walt as Mickey. Mm. And Bongo, the Circus Bear's script was actually finalized December 6th, 1941.
Dope.
So the timing on that was kind of not great. So Bongo tells a story of a bear.
It had a script?
What?
It had a script?
Well, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Bongo the Circus Bear tells the story of Bongo, a bear in the circus, a performing bear in the circus. Think Dumbo, but not everyone makes fun of him.
Right.
And actually, there was a storyline where they were originally going to bring in some of the characters from Dumbo, but they just decided to scrap it. But he wants to go out into the woods because he's tired of being. And so he does escape, meets a girl, bear, and gets confused when she slaps him. Because every guy these days knows if a girl slaps you, what, huh? Okay, I've done something wrong. Bye. Well, apparently bears tell each other they love each other with a slap, which is a song that was very 1940s Disney. The song was.
Did anyone else feel really uncomfortable with this plot point?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Kate sent me several messages that this is the plot point that did not age well. But then again, I would argue, I don't know that it was meant to age well just because it was known that you don't normally slap people. Slapping is usually bad. So,
right. No, it was clearly a gag, but I'm sure it felt worse today than it did 70 years ago.
Yeah. Almost
80 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah. It's old.
Yeah.
But, and then there's a bigger bear that reminds you a whole lot of Pete. Kind of looks like Pete. It's a big bear that is the big gruff that also likes the girl. And Bongo ends up fighting him for the girl. And of course, Bongo wins. Or at least we assume Bongo wins. We never see the other bear again. So in Bongo, I'm just going to be blatantly up there with it. Is there anything that's worth watching this first 30 minutes of this movie? And Steve, I'll let you start on that one.
Absolutely not. There was no story. The gags were not funny. I suffered through it just for this show. I was bored. Yeah. I did not like it.
Okay, sorry. You go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned like Dumbo. It felt like it was like, let's rehash Dumbo. All right, now let's do this from Snow White. Now let's do this from this short. Now let's, nothing in it felt original.
No.
Like even, and I'm saying like, not because there's been 80 years, I'm saying for that time, 1947, nothing in it felt original that we hadn't already seen done in previous Disney films or shorts. They even had two Chippendale like chipmunks at one point. And I couldn't remember if this was pre Chippendale as characters.
This was pre Chippendale.
Yeah. So I guess that was but they didn't really do much.
Right. It was designed pre-Chippendale. Chippendale actually started in 43, though. So this actually would have come out after Chippendale. So why they didn't just color one of the red noses red, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
I'm with Steve. This was very boring and unoriginal.
And we're going 3 for 3 on this one. This is, as Steve said, suffered through this first section.
The songs weren't good. There was a couple songs. The
only thing that it reminded me is Disney was capable of making cute female love interest animals. I mean, let's be honest. The female bear was cute and was designed to be. I keep thinking of like specifically the Twitter-pated section in Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
It's you always know when a female animal is supposed to be a love interest in a Disney movie.
Yeah, they get the long eyelashes.
Long eyelashes and turn to the side and like flutter the eyelashes.
And a hat.
I will say my grandfather grew up. He served in World War II, and he loved apparently the slapstick in the bongo section. Why? I'm not sure. My mother doesn't even know why he loved the slapstick in that section.
But like Pete said, it had all been done before, and there was nothing new, and it just it was the music and what's going on. I guess didn't make me laugh or giggle.
But it's like been done better too, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like all it's all stuff. I don't know. It feels like a very much a low point for Disney.
Yeah. No, it was originally designed to be essentially it was designed to be a second Dumbo, something they could get out fast and dirty and cheap and get something into the theaters. Was the bongo section of it?
Well, it was that, I suppose.
Yeah, for fast and dirty and cheap looking. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, I don't think this is a positive necessarily, but when they got to the slapping part, that at least got my attention. Because
when she slaps him, yeah.
And oh, this is how bears, you know, and then there's a song about that they're slapping each other. And I'm like, okay, this is really weird choice.
No, it is.
So at least that like perked me up to pay a little more attention than I was to that point. I didn't think it was good, but at least it got my attention.
Okay. Yeah. Now I will say, okay, so that's our bongo section. It was hosted by Jiminy Cricket, had Dinah Shore as the narratoress, or however you phrase that. She was the narrator. She sang a couple of the songs. She did not sing, you know, Slap the Bear, the bear slap song.
Do we want to say who Dinah Shore was? Since probably 98% of people listening to this
one. Dinah Shore was a famous singer back in the 30s and 40s on radio and records.
Yeah. She eventually had a TV show, I think.
Yeah.
She did. And it was fairly popular from what I remember in the 50s. So it would be like when they did Bing Crosby or when they had the Andrews sisters. She was a known quantity to help draw in. Look at Dinah Shore. Now, it says something when on the advertising material for Fun and Fancy Free, Bongo is nowhere to be found. Anywhere. So that kind of says everything that even Disney knew about how Bongo was going to go over. Now, second half of this is Mickey and the Beanstalk. Mickey and the Beanstalk was introduced. The set, I'm going to call it, the story was introduced. It was supposedly a party at Edgar Bergen's house. Now, Edgar Bergen was a vaudevillian turned radio star. He was a very famous radio ventriloquist. I'm 100%
you're right.
Serious.
You are right.
And yes, think about how a ventriloquist on radio works.
It apparently worked very well because he was,
with Charlie McCarthy and was the dummy. Well, okay,
Mortimer Snurd.
Who the dummy was, but as far as Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Berman were a very famous comedy duo. They did a lot of stuff with W.C. Fields, another old comedy actor from the time.
Yeah.
A lot of what they did on their radio show, they could not do in this one. Because even for a lot of the smart aleck remarks they made, they were a lot racier on radio. And they couldn't do it on Disney. So they show the party and Edgar Bergen was about as good of a ventriloquist as you would expect for someone who was a ventriloquist on the radio. I mean, go ahead.
Can we say for people that don't know who he is, his daughter?
I was getting there. Yeah. He is about as, you know, one of the things that actually was published back then was how much people were disappointed, how much his lips moved. And I mean, like, I can probably do just about as good as... Actually, I'm probably doing better than he was. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does have a daughter who was famous, especially back in the 80s and 90s, Candace Bergen. She was on Murphy Brown. She was the head of the beauty contest in Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality, yes.
Yes.
That's probably where a lot of people Kate's age would know her from.
Right.
And she hasn't been in much lately, but then again, she's old. Like, is she still around?
Now she's old. She is still alive. They actually brought Murphy Brown back like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
For like one season or something, or two seasons.
Okay.
So yeah, she's still around, but yeah, she's probably in her...
She's 79. She was on Boston Legal.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, but yes, her dad was Edgar Bergen. So that is the connection to today. But looking at this story, Edgar Bergen tells the story of Mickey and the Beanstalk. It's the Jack and the Beanstalk story everybody knows, with Mickey and Donald and Goofy. And the dummies, Charlie McCarthy, and I don't remember the name of the other one that he had.
Mortimer Snurd.
Mortimer, that's right, Mortimer Snurd. And they basically make the smart aleck comments all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
The only one, well, there's one of those that made me actually chuckle of it's, you know, Happy Valley was such a happy place, and then they built a school.
yeah.
That kind of hits home. But there were songs. Is this the only time? Is this one? This is one of the only times that Goofy with Pinto Colvig's voice actually sings. He does. He sings in the. Remember the cartoon with the cricket, where he's fishing.
Yeah.
He sings "The World Owes Me a Living" there, but. Story goes, there's Willie the Giant who makes appearances later. Willie the Giant was the ghost of Christmas Present in Disney's Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually go at Magic Kingdom into Sir Mickey's, which is a hat, or at least used to be a hat shop, it's kind of near where the Bippity Boppity Boutique was. It still is.
If you go through the castle, it's on the right. Yeah.
It's the first building on the right. And it has some of the vines out, But if you go in one of the corners, it actually has Willie the Giant lifting up the corner of the shop and looking in. Mm-hmm. So, to make a long story short, I know, too late. They go and they get the heart back, who caused all the happiness to go away when he kidnapped the heart. And Willie falls and apparently doesn't die because he ends up showing up at the actual... There's some of that live action cartoon of he ends up showing up at the house, one looking around, and then walks off through Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So, was Mickey and the Beanstalk a good send off for the trio? This was the last major cartoon. Okay, I don't count the Three Musketeers ones that happened in the like 80s and 90s. They had like a mini feature-length thing. This was the last one with Walt and Pentelkovic and Clarence Nash as Donald. Was this a good send-off for the trio? Did this section of it work? Pete, I'll let you start.
I think it did. I will say this. I think the version that they would show on Wonderful World of Disney without Edgar Bergen was better than this one. It was
who did that one? Who would narrate the one on Wonderful World of Disney?
I don't remember.
Sterling Holloway typically did it.
Okay,
so voice of the Winnie the Pooh, voice of the Cheshire Cat, yeah, etc. I know. I'm again audience
for our listeners. Yeah, so I found like Edgar Bergen and his dummies jokes kind of distracting. This version was a little slow. It was probably 35 minutes long, and I think the tighter version of it that they would show on Wonderful World of Disney was probably 10 minutes shorter, I would guess. Not sure, but it felt like it was a little... I felt like some of the early part of it was shortened. Not so much once they got up to the castle, but there's some good stuff in this. I think it's not my favorite of the trio.
No.
Certainly some of the shorts they did Clock Cleaners and the one with the trailer, I forget the name of it. And, there's some fantastic ones, but, it's certainly not the worst. Does this belong in a feature film? No, probably not. But, I thought it was a decent short. Admittedly, I did fall asleep in the middle of it, but
because you had seen it before. And
well, I think Bongo was still influencing me.
yeah.
So what about you, Steve? Is this a good one?
If I look at just the short without the little snippets from Bergman, it's okay. It's not the version I remember. The version I remember is with Ludwig van Drake,
and
that's the version I remember.
Okay.
So I was sort of like questioning myself on this. The Bergman parts just drove me nuts and crazy. Like Derek, the school joke cracked me up.
Yeah.
There's another one that cracked me up. I wish they'd just ran through the cartoon without the interspersing. Just stick with the cartoon, run it through, tell me the story.
It needed a little bit of the narration, as you can see with, because the Sterling Holloway and the Ludwig von Drake ones don't talk nearly as much.
Right.
So.
I got my classic Donald, so I was happy.
Yeah, but so you say Ludwig von Drake, was it the same animation and with that character? Not? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they actually did three narrations on this with exactly the same cartoons. So,
nice.
Yeah, I enjoy Mickey and the Beanstalk. Mickey and the Beanstalk, I think, is a classic that if you are going to call yourself a fan of either Goofy or Donald or Mickey, or especially all three, the Mickey and the Beanstalk section of this, I think, is on the must-watch list. Just because, I'm sorry, there is very, very few. I think one of the highlights of the animation in this entire thing, let alone, and potentially even from this era of the cartoons, is Goofy on the Jell-O.
Yeah.
With, if you watch how the Jell-O moves, is, and when he goes diving through the jello and it makes the track, that is a great piece of physical comedy.
There's some good stuff in here. The beanstalk growing and lifting them up and carrying them and them falling between the leaves and everything like that. That is, like, to me, classic Disney stuff. Just you know, nonstop gags and, you know, how they never fall to their death, but they, like, almost, you know, get it, again, clock. It reminded me of Clock Cleaners with a lot of, like, near mishaps and everything like that. So, yeah, there's definitely some good stuff in this one.
Yes. Okay. Where have you heard the voice of Willy the Giant before? And we've actually not done that movie yet on this show. It's one of the few ones we haven't done yet.
I'm not sure. I didn't.
Okay. The voice of Willy the Giant was the voice of Sneezy in Snow White. Because think about the sneeze that Willy does. And that voice actor was known on the radio as doing the big, elaborate, complex sneezes.
Right.
So, okay. Where have you heard Mickey's sneeze in this before? When he falls in the snuff box? That, and I'll Be Seeing Ya, I Hope, are both from Brave Little Taylor.
So they haven't seen that in a long time.
Doesn't stand up as much as you think it does compared to some of the other stuff. It's good. It's not top tier. So anyway, but I enjoyed Mickey and the Beanstalk. Again, I so prefer the other versions without Edgar Bergen. If I could have watched this on mute, if I could have turned off the commentary, it's like, could have turned off the commentary track, I would have been so happy.
If I wanted to watch someone comment on videos, I can watch anything at all on YouTube.
Like us.
Well, we don't comment over videos.
No, because I think that drives all of us nuts.
Yeah.
So, okay. Where? Okay, so you've got the Saludos Amigos and the Three Caballeros. You've got this. You've got Fun and Fancy. You've got Make My Music. You've got
Melody Time.
You've got Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Where is this in the rankings of your package films? And I'm not going, where is this clip? Where is each of these clips? Because I would love, I think we would all rate Bongo and Mickey completely differently.
Yeah.
Would you agree on that? Or not really?
This is probably the lowest. Now, if I took out the Bergman parts, it would raise it up. But if I'm looking at the entire package,
So this
is the lowest. Near the bottom.
Okay.
Of all those you listed, I would also say I really dislike Mr. Toad, the Mr. Toad half of Mr. Toad, Ichabod and Mr. Toad. But Ichabod and the Headless
Bongo.
What?
Oh yes, totally.
I would rather watch
for Bongo. Bongo.
Yeah, I guess. So I still think I would put that above this because to me the Ichabod Crane is perfect. It's a fantastic 25 minutes of, or however long it is, of animation.
One where the celebrity voiceover works.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I don't know if I've seen Make My Music in so long. So
that, you know that, why we haven't seen Make My Music is because it's the one Disney feature film that is not on Disney Plus.
Yeah, we did Melody Time not too long ago.
Yeah,
and I would say I like that better than this. And
yeah,
Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros are not great, but they have great parts. None of these are great.
No,
you know,
and they weren't designed to be great. They were designed to get out there and make money.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I agree with Steve. This one is just, if it wasn't for Mickey and the Beanstalk, it would be a zero. But you got to give it some credit for having a classic Mickey, Donald, and Goofy short.
I would agree. And even though it's a short, it's 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts on the Fun and Fancy Free as a package. It was not incredibly successful when it came out. It made money, but it was not super popular. But it filled a hole in 1947 when not many other movies were coming out. Again, they also couldn't send it over to Europe. Or if they did send it over to Europe, any money they made in Europe had to stay in Europe, which is why they went and did a lot of their live action ones over in England.
Right.
I feel like they could have even cut the Jiminy Cricket opening or parts. Just gone, Bongo, the King of the Beanstalk. Show the two films back to back.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to make it feel like it belonged as a movie, but like they barely tried.
I mean,
I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that, I don't know what made them decide, but aren't you glad they tried Cinderella again? Like, because, like,
yes,
they, you know, they had to cut back for a number of reasons. World War II was a big reason, but, you know, the failure of Fantasia and even like Bambi not doing very well. So they had to go to these package films and save money and put these things out. But I mean, they well could have just been like, we're just going to do this from now on. And thank goodness that they didn't, because like some of that stuff in the 50s is so great. And this stuff is just not.
Yeah, there are moments in the Mickey and the Beanstalk that are good, not great.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, as we always do, we are going to do Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5, and we've got to do it for the entirety of Fun and Fancy Free. I will say Kate has given it a 2.5.
Kate's nicer than me.
Yeah. Kate, what are you giving it?
So I'm going to give it a 1.5 because I did not like Bongo. I did not like the Edgar Bergen stuff, and it actually took away points from Mickey and the Beanstalk for me. I don't know how easy it is to find the other versions of Mickey and the Beanstalk out there, but I would watch that, but I'm not sure I would watch this version. So 1.5 for me. Sorry, Disney.
Pete, I'm exact same reasons for you. I'm at 1.5.
Yeah. Again, if it's either of the other versions of Mickey and the Beanstalk, this is a 2 to 2.5 for me, to be perfectly honest.
I agree.
But you're right. Bongo's a 0 or a 1 or whatever we want to call our lowest.
Right.
A half.
And I just, it's a 1.5. I just can't. I will never watch, I don't think I will ever watch Fun and Fancy Free again.
No,
I will go find the Mickey and
right,
the Beanstalk ones. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, all right. Disney Plus news. We just got one thing on Disney Plus news this week. Spider-Man No Way Home is finally coming to Disney Plus on April 15th. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pete. This finally puts all of the true MCU movies on the service.
I do believe, I mean, the other Spider-Man movies have gone on and off, so I'm assuming, are the other two on there?
The other two, Spider-Man,
yeah, Homecoming and
The Home ones home. Are.
Right, but those are the only MCU ones.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think they're all on there now.
Okay. So that's the Disney Plus news this week. Next week, we're going back into our documentaries. This is actually one I'm kind of interested in. It's called Secrets of the Bees.
Bees.
It's basically, they filmed several beehives over the course of 3 years and I think bees are fascinating. I honestly think bees, when humans go extinct, they may be the next thing that rules the earth. Because bees are incredibly smart. Bees are industrious. So anyway, it's a brand new National Geographic special. I know it comes out literally on the 1st, so no one's had a chance to watch it yet. And I can see it's already holding Pete's attention very, very well.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not as excited about bees as you are.
I'm not. It looked interesting, and we haven't done a nature documentary in a while.
One tried to kill me as a child, so I have a grudge against them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We can okay. find something else.
No, it's okay.
You should report it to Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just make sure they're the right kind of bees. So, but...
Yeah. They're fine on TV. They don't bother me.
That's fair. But guys, if you have suggestions on what you would like us to watch, please send us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you can get a hold of us. We have new episodes coming out Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete and Steve, Kate and Gina, we will see you guys later, and we will see everyone else next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.